Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We have been noticing the trend, the decline of both religious affiliation and religious attendance, a Sunday morning church. It's been steady. It has been, in some cases, alarming. Does that mean that Americans are just becoming irreligious, that a-religious, no religious preference, completely neutral when it comes to religion? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about new secular religions on the right and the left. John Daniel Davidson joins us. He's political editor at The Federalist and author of a recent column, Americans Are Turning Away from Religion Toward Dangerous Secular Cults. John, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
So when we watch the decline of these religions, of religion and attendance and affiliation, does that mean that Americans are becoming irreligious?
I think that's been sort of the dominant narrative that we have had for several years now, as we've had demographers and scholars sort of chronicle and measure the decline in religious attendance and religious activities across our society. But I don't think it's the whole story. I think that Americans are not becoming irreligious so much as they are turning toward different expressions of the religious impulse. And that's what I mean by these, when I talk about secular cults in the article that you referenced, that we're refocusing some of our religious energies toward things that aren't traditional religions, but certainly have all the hallmarks of religion.
Describe what you call these dangerous secular cults on the right and the left, beginning with QAnon.
Yeah, I look at two, partly because they are present on the extreme right and the extreme left. And one, you mentioned QAnon, is sort of a conspiracy theorist cult that arose a few years ago on online forums. And the basic premise is it's a big tent conspiracy that posits generally that President Trump is battling a deep state of global elites that are involved in nefarious activities around the world, and that Trump's election and Trump and his sort of inner circle are at war with these global nefarious elites. And there's a lot of different conspiracy theories that kind of spin out of that basic premise. So it's a big tent conspiracy theory, and it's like a lot of conspiracy theories, it's sort of inured to reason, debate, and objectivity, and things like dissent or proofs, because if you disagree with QAnon, you just don't have all the information. You just don't know what they know.
Well, I want to come back to that kind of bulletproof nature of these conspiracy theories in a moment. Tell us about, on the other end of the spectrum, what you call the cult of woke.
Sure. The cult of woke is sort of a shorthand for critical social justice theory. And the most outward, the most obvious outward expression of this right now would be the Black Lives Matter agenda or the Black Lives Matter organization and sort of the various left-wing ideas and teachings that come with it. And this is prevalent and really obvious in academia, but now we're starting to see it in corporate America, in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and of course, even in our political kind of debates, you've seen a lot of politicians, especially Democrats, embracing sort of wokeness. And wokeness as a religion, you know, a lot of people have been talking about that lately, not just me. And in some ways, it's a better example than QAnon because it more closely hews to what a traditional religion has. You have a kind of doctrine, dogma, penance, all the things that you associate with religion, you have there in sort of the cult of wokeness.
So let's talk about differences and similarities. What do these secular cults have in common with one another?
One of the things they have in common is that they offer answers, very clear answers about what's wrong with the world and what needs to be done to put it right. And they identify sinners or evildoers and inspire their adherents to sort of fight a righteous war against the evildoers. In the case of QAnon, it's these global elites, which include, you know, Hollywood celebrities. It includes people like Bill Gates and Hillary Clinton. In the case of critical social justice theory, it is white supremacy, right? And it posits that all of Western civilization, really, and certainly all of our institutions are racist and serve white supremacy, and we have to tear those things down in order to usher in a more just and equitable world. And so they are very dogmatic about their beliefs in those things and what needs to be done and what the righteous sort of need to do to defeat the sinners or the heathens.
So how are these two secular cults different from one another?
I get into this in some detail in the piece that you mentioned. The main way that they're different is that the cult of wokeness doesn't just suggest that you have the wrong facts or you need better information or you need to be fully informed about what's going on. It posits that our entire way of understanding the world is wrong, that we have false consciousness. And the result of that is that they ascribe things like rationality and the scientific method and math and science and these different things to white supremacist culture. These are tools of white supremacy that have been used to oppress minorities and marginalized groups for all of Western history, and that we have to throw them out and replace them with race-conscious ideas and forms and institutions in order to usher in a just and equitable world. And that's different than what QAnon conspiracy theorists just, you know, they're not questioning how we know facts. They're just saying you have the wrong facts. The left and these woke, the cult of wokeness is questioning how we even know what's real. It's an alternative form of reality, essentially.
So they both reject objectivity and reason debate, but for two different reasons.
Essentially, yes. The QAnon folks on the right won't debate you because they think that you're ignorant. You don't have the right facts. The people on the left won't debate you because there's no point in debating you until you shed your false consciousness and obtain what they call a critical consciousness, which is understanding reality itself in a completely different way and seeing these oppressive structures all around you. And until you understand that, there's no point in trying to convince you otherwise.
Why does and this is common to all conspiracy theories, why does QAnon depend in a lot of ways on being unfalsifiable as a conspiracy theory, bulletproof to any kind of evidence to the contrary?
I think conspiracy theorists in general and QAnon in particular are resistant to that and to debate, as you say, because for a couple of reasons. I think one is a fear that the holes will be poked in the theory and that the theory might not be as bulletproof as it appears to be. And if the conspiracy theorists are wrong, about their theory, then their worldview begins to fall apart. In other words, it costs too much to be wrong. One of the things I think that draws people into these conspiracy theory communities is that it makes sense of the world, especially at a time when the world is very chaotic, very hard to make sense of. It's very hard to know what's going on, and it's very hard to be at peace with the world. And these conspiracy theories offer a way to understand. And so when you have a lot invested in that, the last thing you want it to do is fall apart.
So do you think that QAnon could exist without Donald Trump? Or I guess I'm asking, is Donald Trump just kind of a convenient placeholder for this person in the conspiracy theory who is fighting these global, unseen, maybe even undetectable global forces?
It's a good question. I think that QAnon may not have arisen the way it has without Donald Trump, but I think it will continue just as strong once he's out of the picture, whether that's after the November election or in four more years. I think it is more of an expression and more of an outgrowth of the crisis of faith in society and the deterioration of our institutions and trust in our institutions, trust in our leaders and our elites. And of course, Trump's election was a manifestation and a result of that, too. So, you know, Trump is not necessarily a cause. He's an effect. And that's true, I think, politically. But it's true in the case of QAnon. I think that the forces behind it and the urge to sort of have these theories, these unifying theories that pit good and against evil and against an evil that's sort of like amorphous and everywhere, go beyond just Trump and will be with us after Trump.
You had mentioned that what you call the cult of woke is rather dogmatic, ideological, absolutist in many ways. Can anyone ever be woke enough? Or is it just kind of this constant striving after increased wokeness? It seems there's always going to be something else that we have been blind to all along.
Yeah, and that's one of the disturbing things, I think, about wokeness. One of the things that it lacks as a sort of secular religion is redemption, right? It has almost all the features of any traditional religion except for redemption. There's no way to be woke enough, as you say. There's only a process of continual repentance, continual penance, continual confession of wrongdoing without anything like atonement or redemption or reconciliation. And that's something I think that we should all be worried about as this goes mainstream, because it's not going to have the salutary effects of traditional religion on our public life. And one of the things that I note in the article is that you are not going to have Black Lives Matter activists going out of their way as an expression of their belief in wokeness, personally doing things like feeding the poor and tending to the sick and doing things that traditionally in America Christians have done as a response to their faith. That's not the kind of thing that these secular cults produce.
You say that QAnon takes a defensive approach and the cult of woke takes an offensive approach. How is that?
QAnon is essentially positing these theories for anyone and everyone to come in and either accept them or not. But they are allergic to debate, as we said earlier, on the basis of facts, that you don't have the right facts and you don't have the full story. The cult of woke is actually going out and going after institutions that they want to, literally pull down monuments and burn down buildings, but they also want to get people fired for not being woke enough. They want to topple these institutions in society, whether it's in government or in academia or in corporate America, to enforce their dogmas on other people, whether they're willing or not. And that's the sense in which I say the cult of wokeness is offensive. They are sort of holy warriors. They're on a mission, and they are coming for you, even if you are not interested in them. And I don't think that QAnon is quite as aggressive in that same way.
Does the cult of woke have any plans for the future, so to speak, after they have burned everything down and destroyed everything and undermined all these institutions, gotten enough people fired, what do they propose all this be replaced with?
I think we can get a glimpse of that in some of the sort of foundational or canonical, if you will, writings about, you know, critical social justice theory, books like White Fragility and How to Be an Anti-Racist. And essentially what they're proposing in these works and in a body of scholarly literature that's risen up in recent decades in certain departments, certain academic departments that have really embraced wokeness as a theory and as a subject of academic study, is this idea that we should actually be race conscious in public policy, in how we organize society. We shouldn't have equal treatment under the law. The law should treat people differently based on what group they belong to. So wokeness is fundamentally incompatible with constitutional democracy, individual rights, due process before the law, equal treatment under the law. We're talking about a completely different way of organizing society that is totally antithetical to our constitutional system that we have right now.
With about a minute, why are these ersatz religions attractive now?
That's the million-dollar question. And I think that it does have a lot to do with the decline of traditional religion. There is something wrong in American life that is causing the erosion of traditional religion and traditional faith and the rise of these pseudo-religious secular cults. And the answers for that are many. They're complicated. But those are the questions that we're going to have to answer. And those are the things that we're going to have to address if we want to check the rise of these cults and reinvigorate traditional religious life in America, upon which so much of our prosperity and peace and success has rested. And until we do that, I think we're in real trouble.
John Daniel Davidson is political editor at The Federalist and author of a recent column, Americans Are Turning Away from Religion Toward Dangerous Secular Cults. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. John, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College about having hard political conversations in a nonetheless loving way. And on Wednesday, we'll continue our series, The Words of Scripture. We'll be discussing blessed, that word blessed in the Bible, with Pastor Will Whedon. It's a big word. It must be tied back to Jesus Christ. And we'll do that Wednesday with Pastor Whedon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.